I'd like to start with a scripture in 2 Kings, 6th chapter. In the 13th verse, it says, "And he said, Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, Behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he hither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around about Elisha. My message tonight is, open his eyes that he may see. I wonder what goes on around us that we never see. I believe tonight that there is a lot goes on that we don't see with our natural eyes. This was this man, he couldn't see. It's epidemic in our world today. People can't see. Blinded. The only thing they can see is the things that are around them.
That's right.
The scripture says that the things that are seen are temporal.
That's right.
But the things which are not seen are eternal.
Eternal.
There's eternal things that has to be seen by faith. They were there. According to this passage of scriptures, the mountains was full of chariots and the angels of the Lord was like all around. But the man couldn't see it. But Elisha could see it. And he prayed to say, open his eyes. Lord, help us tonight that the Lord would open our eyes. That we would lift up our eyes to be able to see what the Lord has for us now. That we would not miss the blessings of the Lord. That we wouldn't miss what the Lord is trying to do in our lives. That we wouldn't be blinded to his purposes. In his ways, and what he's trying to do. It would be easy to just miss it, I think. To get so temporal, so earthly. To only see what happens as an earthly reason or an earthly purpose. Never seeing above the purposes of God in it all. God has purposes in it all. I wonder how much we don't see. I remember one night being feeling uneasy. And I was praying about my family and about my home. And the Lord gave me a vision of an angel sitting on top of my house. My prayer after that had become, Lord, set your angel on my home. And in my mind, in my faith, when I prayed in my faith, many times in my mind's eye, I saw that vision repeated of that angel setting. I'll be honest with you, I believed it.
Amen.
I believed that God had posted an angel on our home. By faith, I believed that. By faith, things have happened. But we see and believe. Many times we don't even go there in our minds. We don't understand. But the prophet was saying, I see it. It wouldn't be enough. But Lord, I want to ask you, open his eyes. That he can have the same experience. That he can know the greatness of God for himself. And then God wants it. Our experience in him not to be just a
I heard it from someone else's experience. It isn't just a spectator sport. It isn't something that just was passed on through the generations. But the Lord wants us to see His hand.
Amen.
Open our eyes, Lord, that we might be able to see Your works in our lives. That we might be able to accept it, receive it, and be able to testify for it. We have prayer meetings sometimes and it's just kind of, I know the Lord done more than that. I know He did. But it wasn't seen. You've probably heard me, many of you heard me anyway tell this. I was cruising down the highway. I believe I was in Oklahoma at the time. The family was all asleep. And I was cruising down the highway, sat on cruise control. And it was middle of the night. And I looked and a deer come running across the road, across the other lanes, across the median. Here it come. And before I could react, it was just, I had no time to react. And that deer came across the road and I saw it just, its feet come right up by the wind. That thing was just stopped in midair. It looked like it was just spun. And I seen its feet come right by the glass as I went by. And I was like, I knew it was going to hit the van. And it didn't hit the van. And I was saying, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. He spun, just spun. You take it for what you will. I'm telling you. By faith, I saw it. I saw it happen. Open their eyes that they may see. I don't know how many times the Lord's had mercy on people that they never said, thank you, Lord. They never stopped to say, the Lord done something for me. They never stopped to bow down to pray. They never saw the Lord. I saw the Lord that night do something for me. And as I went on by, the Lord said to me, I remember one time wrestling with this. We'd got this van and I remember saying, I remember thinking at the time, oh, this is nice, and oh, boy, if I wreck it, it'd tear it up, and I probably ought to get some full coverage insurance on it, and I was thinking that way, and the Lord reproved me and said, no, give it to me. And I gave it to the Lord. And you know, as I went, the Lord reminded me of that. The Lord said, see, I told you I could take care of this van. All those many miles and miles and miles, the Lord took care of it over and over again. Because He said He would. Open their eyes that they might be able to see. Brother, I don't think Brother Gordon would mind me telling this story. He told me this last meeting, a little story. He said he was traveling along, him and his wife, from a meeting. And he said they was running out of gas. And he said they had already run out of money. And they was a running out of gas. And they kept a looking and they didn't have enough gas or money to get home. But they kept a driving and they was a praying and a driving and a praying, and finally he said, we just ain't going to be able to make it. He said, I'm going to pull over here and pray. So they pulled over and he said he just stepped, got out, and he walked a little ways over and he said he looked down and he said there was a $20 bill laying there. $20, he said. And then he stopped in his story and he said to me, and he said, I don't know what people think about that, but I think it was the Lord. I kind of patted him on the back and said, I do too. I think that was the Lord answered your prayers. Brother Gordon was saying, I saw the Lord. I saw Him. He said, I don't know how that got there. I don't know if somebody dropped it. I don't know if the Lord just made it appear there. I don't know if it blew out of a vehicle. But I don't either, Brother Gordon. But it don't matter. You got home. He saw the Lord. Oh, Lord, open our eyes. Open our eyes that we might be able to see. But not only just for us that believe, but Lord, open the eyes. Open their eyes. Open our family's eyes. Lord, help them to be able to see. God has blessed my life, gave me a wonderful wife and family. I am so blessed. I want them to see what God does for you. I want them to see what God does in changing the envies and the stripes of your life. That old fighting and bitterness and unforgiveness and all that that I had in my heart and how God took it out. I want them to be able to see the Savior. See the one that can change that, all that. He can change it. There is nothing tonight our God can't do. He's forever working. Did you see him today? He was there today.
Yes, he was.
Yes, he was. Oh, I appreciate it just along with you all out here that live out here. All that good rain that you got, that was the Lord. Did you see him? Did you see him? He was in that. And then it broke clear today. All up in the morning, it was still cloudy, and just all of a sudden the clouds started spreading and the sun started coming in, and there was this feeling in me and I could feel it, and I saw God. I saw him. God was in all that. He done all that. Open his eyes that he may see. And when the Lord opened his eyes, there was something there. There was something there that his natural eyes would have never have seen. There was something spiritual. There was something spiritual going on. Lord, help us to see God. Because if we don't, we'll get discouraged. We'll think we're losing the battle. We're losing the victories. We think we're losing everything around us. We're not losing everything around us. We're not lost a thing yet. Nothing. I know the world's going a certain way. We haven't lost anything yet. It ain't ours anyway. You know what? It's time to see God. Start looking and seeing what God's doing in it. When something terrific happens, look for God. Nothing terrific can happen unless God lets it happen. There's a reason God lets the terrible, the great things happen, and the little things. God's in those things. And we can look and say, Lord, what's your purpose? Help me to see. Open my eyes. What it's talking about, it's not these natural eyes, of course, but the eyes of my understanding. Help me to see. None of us can see spiritual things without the Lord. It's a realm that we don't even know anything about. But Lord, open our eyes to spiritual things. Help us to understand how you work in spiritual things. Because the Lord's in those things that you and I can't understand and see. The devil many times will be working and working undercover in darkness. And if because we can't see, we never can pinpoint. That's the devil. Jesus was quick to see it. Old Peter said, Lord, it's not so. And Jesus, right away, immediately, he picked up on that and he called Satan out on it. He rebuked him. Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense to me. I know where this thought is coming. You initiated that thought. He was quick to see it. All the things that happen like that, Lord, help us to be able to see God. I want to look at a scripture in John, 6th chapter of John. There's going to be a little reading here, but I like to read it. Oh, I'll start at the 5th verse. 6th chapter of John. It says, when Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracles that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come unto the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again unto the mountain himself alone. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to go ahead and look now at the 24th verse. It says, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, we comest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because ye saw the miracles, because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Come all that way. I know Jesus is interested in our well-being tonight. I'm glad for it. I'm glad that I've had the privilege of my life to be able to call on him for the great and the small. Every need of my life I've been able to call upon the Lord. And the Lord's been faithful to me. He's concerned about those that are hungry. Naturally. He's concerned about those that are suffering and ill. Of course he is. And these people followed him alone. But Jesus said to them, you followed me not for the miracles, but because you got fed. Because you got something out of it. Imagine this. One of the greatest miracles that Jesus did was here with this. What an outstanding thing. And to think that there was people there that all that they could really get out of it is that it filled my belly. What was it? They weren't willing to ask themselves the simplest of questions. What means this? What manner of person is this? Where did the power and ability come from? What does he want? What did he come to do? What do I mean in it all? What a miracle. Many of these probably hadn't eaten for a long time. It said they were filled. Probably a lot of them hadn't been filled in a long time, if ever. But they were filled. They was able to eat to satisfaction. And they wanted that. So they started following Jesus. Wanting him to be the one that feeds them. But never really understanding what he really came to do. They were only trying to fill their belly. So goes the world today. So goes the world. As long as they can be filled. As long as they can feed the belly. As long as they can feed the appetites. As long as they can get the entertainments. Fulfill their lusts. All those things. They're satisfied with life. And yet here was one that came for so much more than that. And done this miracle right in their presence. Right before them. He laid it out. And they wasn't even of a mind to be able to see the Son of God. An eternal purpose for their life. If this man can feed you like this, he can do anything. What happened here? You take five loaves and two fishes and multiply it to feed thousands of people. Who is this? I've got some questions for him. But they never even asked the question. Up home they have a saying that a hog will get under an oak tree and he'll just eat and he never looks up to see where the acorns is coming from. Don't make any difference once it hits the ground. Never even ask the question, where does it all come from? Lord, help us tonight to open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, to be able to see what the purposes of God add so much to our life. We'll be able to understand what's going on around us. Lord, open our eyes. Things happening don't just happen. God's got a purpose in what he's doing. And he wants us to be able to be in tune with what he's doing. To be able to see this and say, Lord, here I stand. Send me. Send me into this position that we might win souls. That we might be able to touch people. Do you know the Lord allows things to happen in life? A man named Stephen was stoned to death one time. You can read about it in Acts. The scripture says he was full of the Holy Ghost. And he preached quite a sermon to the Jews. And then they was angered and picked up stones and started stoning him to death. You and I, in our earthly eyes, if we saw that, we would look and say, that's terrible, and we would pity Stephen. Wouldn't we? We would pity Stephen and hate the ones that threw the stones. But hold it a minute. Lord, open our eyes to the situation. Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
And when they stoned him, he looked up and seen Jesus standing on the right hand of God.
Glory of God.
Glory. I don't know about pitying that guy. I'm kind of envying him now. This guy's in the right place. It's the ones that's throwing the stones. We need to be able to see the situation for what it really is. They're lost. And they're going to a devil's hell. We do it in our own lives. Oh, woe is me. Somebody just done me wrong. If it's true, they're on a rope and a crash course with eternity and in hell. Where is the pity of it? Lord, open our eyes to the real things. Because honestly, it's not always the way you see it with your natural eye, the way God is really working with it. It is not a curse. Death is not a curse for God's people. The Bible doesn't say it that way. There's a victory over death. Blessed. The scripture even talks about that it's a blessing. Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. So we look at it in a totally wrong way sometimes when we look at what's happening around, and we'll look at the ones that's doing the evil, and we'll cast such a thought towards them, and yet God wants us to see it for what it really is. There was a time that the disciples said to Jesus over some people that was doing some wrong things, and they said to the Lord, "Lord, you want us to call down fire from heaven on them?" And Jesus rebuked them. Get you some eyes. You're not seeing it. You don't know what spirit you're of. You're not seeing this right. I didn't come into the world to condemn the world. I didn't come to cast them. I come that they might be saved. You're looking at it wrong. I'm not the destroyer. I'm the Savior. Open our eyes to what's going on. I'm going to tell you something. When somebody gets real good and cantankerous and kind of mean and hateful, I've experienced this. A lot of times they're right on the door. They're right on the threshold. I've seen people right before they get saved get awfully hateful and cantankerous. Because the Lord's working with them and they're dealing with things. And that's the time to see, oh, the Lord working with them. Lord, you've been dealing with him. Lord, that's a time to not get my feelings hurt. It's time to see it for what it really is. Lord, help us to have some eyes. Grow up as saints. Grow up and be mature saints. Be able to take people in that's different than us. Be able to respond to them because we see it. We see what they need. If we don't see it, who is going to see it? These people never responded to what the Lord did in the right way. Their eyes was never opened that this is the Son of God and he came to save my eternal soul. All they wanted was to fill their belly. And so the Lord gives them a few words here. He says, labor not for the meat which perisheth. Oh, I'm going to tell you something here. Your eyes are focused on this world. You got your eyes focused on this world. You look at something and you say, I want to have that. You look at something and say, I need that. But the Lord said don't put your eyes on that. Don't put your heart on those things. Don't labor. Put all your work on the building something here because you're going to leave it. And the scripture says you don't know whether you're going to leave it to the wise or the fool. You don't know what will become of it after you leave it. So don't labor for that. The Lord knows that we have need of food, and there's nothing wrong with the proper process of getting it. From planting, from sowing, reaping, the whole process, there's nothing unnatural or wrong about it, and the Lord knows we need to do it. He said, don't labor or overextend yourself for it. But first, you need to do something else. Open up your eyes. what's important? What's really important? We're not here long. What's really important? Oh, my heart grieves when I look and see, especially young people, that I know they're about to shipwreck. You know why I know? Because I can see. I know what the Lord said, and I can see. And I've seen so many go the way before them. And I can see that if they keep going the way they're going, they're going to shipwreck. They're going to ruin their family. They're going to ruin their life. They're going to have children that don't know their mom and their dad, and they're going to be ruined by it. And I see it happening. And I say, Lord, open their eyes that they can see it happen. You can't have a relationship like that. You can't have it where you're running off and doing your thing and being selfish. And she's going and doing it. You can't have it. It won't work. And I see it happening and happening. And say, Lord, open their eyes that they can see what's going to happen in their life. And all that they can think is that if I can get the next thing of fashion, if I can get the next technology that's coming out, if I can get the next entertainment that comes out, and that's all they ever see, laboring for that which perishes. And never really getting something that was really, really valuable in their lives of honor and integrity and respect and honestness. There is no human relationship that can endure without honesty. None of them. Well, you going to trust me if I don't tell you the truth? If I lie to you? How can you build upon a relationship like that? Open their eyes that they might be able to see. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. These people was after the loaves. They was after the fishes. That's all they was after. But the Lord reversed that. It's going to open your eyes to something. Oh, Lord, help us. That the Lord would open the eyes of our people. To open the eyes to see the end of the road we're going down. Well, I don't know what all to say about that. But I can say this to every individual road. To your road. My soul is continually in my hand. I have the control. I have the choice. Set before you life and death. Good and evil. In my life there is a choice. I'll be honest with you, I'm not smart enough to know it all. I'm not smart enough to know what comes after another. But the Lord is. And He can open our eyes to these kind of things. Help us to be able to see what is becoming of our lives. What will happen if I go down this road? Oh, I mentioned it already, but I've been amazed at how many times we've had young people grow up right among us. And we have preached and warned and taught. Don't go the ways of the world. It'll gobble you up. It'll ruin that love that you have. You think you have that first love, that marriage that will never be hurt, will last forever. Does anybody ever get married saying, well, we're going to get married for 2 years and then we're going to hate one another and get a divorce and fight for the rest of the time over the rights of the children? Does anybody ever have such a goal as that? Well, I wouldn't think so, no. They all start off with their mindset that it's going to be a love, I'll love you forever. You know, you send the cards, it's anniversary time, and you write on there, love you forever, love you forever. Well, forever ain't very long for most people. Because it don't last forever, it just lasts until you cross me till I can't stand it anymore, and then you're gone. And we've preached it and we've told it, don't go the way of the world. Stay with the Lord. Put the Lord in your life. Let him help you to have the grace to go through those harder times and to be able to work together and to unite together. And it gets better as it goes. We try to do it over and over. And then what happens? We see young people come up. They get married. They seem so happy. They turn the Lord down. They live their life. And at beginnings, it seemed like they got the world by the tail. Then what we start hearing? Trouble starts coming. Oh, usually there's a child, two children, three children. Then there's heartaches. Then there's problem. Now they're split up. Now they're back together. They split up again. Now they're back together again. Now they're getting a divorce. Now they're gone. This one married somebody else. This one married somebody else. Children swapping back and forth. This one's got two more children. This one's got two more children. Now they got sister, stepdad. I talked to a girl recently. She said, I was asking her about her life, and she said, she started telling me, she said, well, I'm pretty messed up. And she said, she started telling me about her dad that ain't her dad, that's her stepdad. But then there was another stepdad. Then there was a third stepdad. Then there was a sister by that was really a half-sister. Then there was another sister that was a stepsister of the first guy. And then there's another step. And before long, she said, and I guess I'm pretty messed up. And I said, unfortunately, you're pretty normal. Because it's becoming more normal all the time, the way life is. God never intended any of that. There's something that's so much better than all of that. There's a truth, Lord. Open our eyes to the truth. Open our eyes to the way of God, to the valuable things of God, to the grace of God. Do you believe in that tonight? Do you believe there's a divine power that enables us to overcome the fleshly desires of our life? Is there not a salvation for us? Is there not a balm in Gilead? Is there not a healing somewhere? Sure there is. He made the way. We can testify, this is not a myth, folks, it's not a fairy tale. It's a reality that we've experienced in our lives. God is real. He's helped us over and over. I can testify to you of many, many things that the Lord has done. He's opened my eyes to see that there's a God that is right close. I think the 17th chapter of Acts, where Paul's talking to him about the unknown God, and he says, he's nigh unto every one of you. You can reach out and touch him. Anybody can. He's right there close. And he'll help you. He'll help you through life. He'll give you, he'll heal your mind. He'll heal your body. Over and over again, the Lord has helped us, blessed us, done the miracles for us in healings, and helped us in our minds, and helped us to get over attitudes and dispositions we couldn't do by ourselves, fleshy things that we couldn't do. God's got a healing touch for all of those things. To help us to go through. And the problem of it is most people don't want to see. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And they don't want to ever look and realize that there is a way. The way of God that is true. And it's right. It's full of integrity and honesty. It's an honorable way. But give me, just fill my belly. And let me be content. It cost me nothing that way. I didn't have to pay for it. Let me just follow the Lord and get those little extras. The Lord does want to heal you. The Lord wants you to eat tonight. The Lord wants to bless your life that you be full. I think the scripture says, I would that ye prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. The Lord never intended to do the other beyond the blessings of our soul. Amen. Let that be the friend's benefits, and the blessings of our soul be the real benefits. That we had opened our eyes to what God really wants to do in our lives. Lord, help me to be able to see. Another scripture over in Proverbs. Proverbs 29 and 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. No vision? Can't see? It's talking about a spiritual revelation. A spiritual revelation. It's not talking about being able to see with the eyes, but with the spirit. To be able to have something projected out there. A vision. I've got a vision. I've got a vision of God, of what God's doing. I've got a vision that, if you got a vision tonight, this says without a vision, the people perish. So I'm going to say, you got a vision? Is the church of God going down?
No.
Got a vision. It didn't go down. Is God real? Got a vision. Yes, he is. Has he got things planned for the future for us? Sure he does. As long as there's a future, he's got it planned. I got something. Got to hold something, to see something. A revelation that can't be taken from. Folks, you need a revelation. From God for you. You need to God to tell you. To open your eyes to see the angels. It's not enough to say, well, Brother Leslie said there was. I never did see them, but he said they was up there. Brother Sammons used to see them. Other brothers seen them. I'll take their word for it. No, that ain't good enough. You need to see them for yourself. Amen. You need an experience for yourself. Oh, I love the scripture of the blind man. That blind man got a healing from the Lord. The Lord gave him blind. Never did see before. And Jesus touched his eyes and he could see. And I imagine that was something spectacular. Could you imagine not being able to see? But he could never see. And now he can. And the Jews come along and tried to say that there was something wrong with that. Oh, you wasn't like that and stuff. And he ended up saying, I love this because it's so true. He said, I was blind. Now you can argue, you can do everything else you want to. But I was blind and now I see. There ain't no arguing with me. There ain't no arguing. I was blind. Now I'm going to tell you, could you imagine getting together a bunch of the smartest people that you could come up with and said, okay, let's go convince the blind man that he wasn't blind. Or let's go convince him that he was blind and he couldn't see and he still can't. How would you go with the smartest? How would you deal with the guy that had the personal revelation for himself? Because what he would say is, I was blind and now I see. You argue all the theology that you want to, but I know this. I know it's true. I was blind, and now I see. Amen. I was blind, and now I see. You can't take that from me. Argue if you will about salvation, and I'm going to tell you, I was blind, and now I see. Thank the Lord. I know when it happened. I know when I could see, and now I can see. You can't take away the experience of God that I have in my life. It's too real. God's done too much for me. There's too many times that the Lord has spared me in miraculous ways. Talk to me at the same time. He's been there. He opened my eyes. He opened my eyes. Not these little ones. Never saw it literally. I saw it by faith through my mind's eye. I saw God. You ever see him? Yes. You ever see him? Yes. I love when I see him. Lord. I like when God shows up on the scene. Yes, Lord. I'm driving to work one night and I was come over. It was in the winter. The roads seemed to be dry at the time. And I was going to work and there was a car coming up the mountain. And it had one wheel off of the road and kind of spinning up through there, kind of acting funny. And I thought the guy had been drinking or something. I thought, what's that guy doing? Well, just as soon as I topped the hill, I immediately knew what had happened, that it was just black ice down the hill. And you couldn't see it, but it was just a sheet of ice down through there. And my car just completely went out of control. And I tried to steer, and it didn't do no good. I tried to hit the brake. It didn't do any good. And I just went to sliding. And I just almost hit the rock cliff, and then it went jump back over and just almost hit the guardrails. Oh, and it just jumped back over. It did that 3 or 4 times down through there. And then and all that my prayer didn't get going really. It was, Lord help me, Lord help me, Lord help me, Lord help me. And the car jumped back across and come to a stop in the only wide spot on the whole mountain that you could have pulled a car off on. It just pulled over there and stopped right there. And I saw God. Amen. I saw God. When it just almost did, it didn't. Several times when it just it didn't. And then it was over there. And you could say, oh, things happen. You're right, things happen. But I saw God. I saw a God that makes things happen. I saw a God that changes things from happening. I saw a God that worked in my life. I remember years ago with my first daughter. She was sick, very fevered, had flu. Flu was going around, lasting in children a week or so. And she was sick, and my wife had said that she had needed to go to town. And I said, we can't go to town because the child's sick. And my wife ended up saying, I guess she had more faith than I did at the time. And she said, well, the Lord can heal her. And I said, well, yeah, well, if the Lord touches her, yeah, there wouldn't be no reason not to go to town. But right now, she's very fevered and sick. You know, I remember holding that little child in my arms
and praying for her. And then I prayed for her again. And the third time I prayed for her, I felt the heat of the fever get right in my arms and run right out my arms. I felt it as plain. That fever went. And when it did, she just calmed down. And I put my hand on it. She was as cool as she was. And I laid her down and it was over. The flu was over. I saw God. I saw Him. Open our eyes that we might be able to see. God's working in your life. He did it today. I know the Lord worked in your life today. The Lord has been with you today. He's always there. Lord, open our eyes. This says, without a vision, the people perish. I need the experience of the blind man. My own personal revelation. And you need yours. And then we won't be a perishing people. Because there's nothing the devil can do about a people that has the revelation. Because when Jesus said, I'm going to build upon this rock, I will build my church. Do you know what He was building it on? Oh, some people say it was Peter. I'm glad He didn't build anything on Peter. It wasn't Peter He was building it on. When He said, upon this rock, Peter had just got through telling him that He was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said that flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but My Father which is in heaven. And that's the rock that every one of us have to have, that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I see it. I see it. I got the revelation. That revelation can never be moved from me. It'll never be removed out of the hearts of those that's received it. You can't steal it. You can't take it away. It's my revelation. Jesus, real to me in my life. Without a vision, the people perish. Then that means with a vision, they will never perish. We need a vision of God for ourselves, working, active, all the time in my life. Who is my helper? I'll look to the hills from whence cometh my help. Where's my help coming from? It's coming from the Lord. That's where my help comes from. It comes from the one that gave it. What can He do? Oh, I know they've got machines that looks through and through the body, inside and out, upside and down, can do all kinds of stuff with it. But God made it. God made the body. He knows how it works. He knows how to fix it. I'm going to tell you something even grander. He knows when to take it out of here. Oh, I know. We'll say, oh, I don't like to hear that. Folks, that's a blessing in the Lord. Do you see it? Do you have a vision of this place just being a dressing room, a rehearsal? This is not the long home that the Bible talks about. We need a vision of what we got over there. It's not going to be like this over there. The scriptures, the song we sing says that sin can never enter there. The scripture says, as a tree falleth, so shall it lie. I like to think that the way that the Lord takes it, that's the way it will forever be. I know it can be fearful thought, but it can also be a blessed thought too. Lord, help us to have a vision, to be able to see. Got another scripture. It's over in the third chapter of John. Third chapter. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. All right, now Nicodemus, you got it right. Nicodemus had something else that the other one didn't have. They never even considered the miracles and the whole idea of where it come from. They just wanted the food. Nicodemus had something else going on. You know, Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. There was a real stigma on this guy. He had a lot of pressure on him. That's why he come by night. He didn't want them to see him. There's going to be peer pressures. They're going to be wondering what he was doing, a ruler, a Jew, what he was seeking after. But I'd like to think this, and I think it's accurate. Oh, Nicodemus had something going on in here. He didn't see it all, but he wanted to see it. He had a real desire to see it.
So he comes to the Lord by night and said, Rabbi, Master, we know that thou art come from God. I know that. I know enough of the scriptures to know that you can't do these things unless God be with you. There's no power on earth that could do them. You're from God, and I know you are. Help me to see. I can't see. I'm steeped in my traditions. Can't see. I'm blinded by my own thoughts. Help me to see. You know, we can be like that too. We can be so wrapped up in what we've always been or always done that we can't see. I need to see. Lord, I need to see what you got me to see. Oh, Nicodemus would have loved nothing more than for him to have been right, but something digging in there that said he wasn't. But where have I went wrong? Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, you're lacking something that keeps the veils over you. Yes. Folks, I'm going to tell you can have a great intellectual mind. And you can use it to scholarly pursuits. And can come up with a lot of wisdom. But without a revelation from the Lord, you'll never see the kingdom. You'll never really understand what it really is without it. That's not my words. That's Jesus' word. He was talking to a very intelligent man of the time and a ruler. And he told him, unless you were born again, Nicodemus, you'll never see this thing. It'll always be obscure to you. You'll even fight against it. You'll never see it. Was it not true? Paul was an incredibly gifted man of the mind. Had learned at the feet of the best. But he couldn't see it. He couldn't see it. And do you know something else? He testified of himself, Paul did, that he was ignorant. He couldn't see it. Until he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, the man had it totally wrong. He was actually persecuting God's people and couldn't see it. He thought he was doing the will of God. He couldn't see it. Couldn't see it. I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Oh, Nicodemus, what a question to ask. You totally can't see it. You can't see it. Jesus wanted Nicodemus to see it. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? He still couldn't get it, could he? He couldn't get it. He couldn't see it. He couldn't understand it. Something needed to happen to Nicodemus before he could get it. And then he'd say, I got it. It wasn't this old flesh he was talking about. It was inside of me. Now I'm alive again. I'm alive unto God. I can lay my head down and know that I'm right before God. I can live right before my neighbors. I can look them all right in the eye. I've got honesty left now. I'm born again. I got something new happened inside of me. My spirit. Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I had told you earthly things, how true, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that cometh down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of God be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now listen, without question probably. The most recognized scripture in the Bible. And for me to think that he was looking into Nicodemus's eyes when he said this, in my mind he was. He said these words to this man. This has went, most children in here can quote this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Looking at Nicodemus, what must that have done to that man? They said at other times about Jesus that no man spake as this man did, of one of authority. They was astounded at his doctrine. They was wondered at this man. It wasn't like me standing up here and hopefully, by the mercy of God, maybe there's some anointing on it, but there was no lack of anointing on this man. This man had the Spirit in his fullness. He didn't get it by measure. He had the fullness of it. And he's speaking there to Nicodemus and said, for God so loved the world, Nicodemus, I want you to see. Open your eyes to know that you can be back in fellowship with God. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This, it doesn't say it here, but if you follow the scriptures, there was a couple men that buried Jesus. And Nicodemus was one of them. And he done it in the daylight. These words affected Nicodemus. I believe that Nicodemus got a hold of it. I believe there was a time that Nicodemus didn't care what they thought anymore. Something happened in there, I believe. And Nicodemus was touched. And it changed his life forever. Over in Revelations. I'm thinking of another scripture before I get this one in Revelations. We won't turn to it, but I'm thinking about the time that the Lord said we need to go by Samaria. And he went to the well. You remember there was a woman there? She couldn't see. She was blinded by the lust of her own life.
That's right.
And she couldn't see and she didn't understand. And she asked the Lord where the proper place to worship. You remember that?
Yes.
She asked them, where would they worship? Some said it down, the Jews, they said in the city. The Samaritan said up in the mountains. What's to be? And the Lord gave her a little exhortation about worship. You know, that woman went away and she went down into the city. It says in the meantime, the disciples come back. They had went to get food. So they come back with the food. Said, we got the food. And Jesus said, I've got meat. Did you know nothing about? What was he talking about? And you know what the disciples said? Always, their mind at that point, always on the earth. Always on the earth. They never had the ability to soar above the earth. They always was earthbound. Earthbound in their thinking. Everything had to be with the earth. Jesus said, I got meat you don't know about. And they said one to another, somebody bring him something to eat. Never thinking above it or beyond it at all. Jesus wasn't talking about eating. He was talking about the meat that he just gave the woman. He just told her of her life. And then there was a great multitude coming out of Samaria. Here they come. A great multitude. That woman went down there and told them there's a man up there. Now listen, they knew the prophecy. You know what the prophecy was? That when he came, he would know all your thoughts. He'd know all about you. This woman went down there and said, there's a man up there.
Told him ever did.
And they said, been promised. Let's go see. It'll come a great multitude out and was coming to the Lord. And the Lord's mind wasn't on eating now, folks. He had transformed from that hunger into another place. And all the disciples were saying, my belly's empty. My belly's empty. And Jesus said, lift up your eyes. Here comes a great harvest. And you're thinking about your bellies. Lord, help us to lift up our eyes and see. And see what the Lord's trying to do. Back when the trade towers was hit, 9/11, 9/11, there was a few bold preachers that came out and said God had something to do with it. And they was quickly put down till they apologized. He did. It'd be impossible that he didn't. He did have something to do with it. Because he allows things to happen in men's lives. It isn't no. I am condemning anybody. But I'm going to tell you, I was out in the field quite a bit at that time and preaching. I'm going to tell you, people's hearts were different. I saw God working with people. He opened an avenue. It closed quickly, folks. But there was an avenue there that was ripe at the time to be able to tell people. Do you know that they quit throwing off on people in our government, the political people? They quit throwing off on them because they wanted to pray. Everybody accepted it. They was doing it on the White House steps. But not for long. But God was in it. A preacher was so bold to say that God had something to do with the hurricane that hit New Orleans and the damage. And he quickly was made to repent. But God did know. Sure he did. Sure he did. It was the mercy of God that leads men to repentance. God in his workings. We look and sometime and we hear on a regular basis somebody else got cancer. And we frightened. Is it a plague? Or is it mercy? Open our eyes, Lord. If it's true that man's days is 67 by 80 by reason of strength and maybe a few after that. And then he's gone and he's gone forever and there's no more returning back. One life to live. And then eternity. I'll say it's mercy. That a man have time to realize his mortality. Lord, open our eyes to see. We should all say, Lord, keep me straight. Lord, keep me right. If it takes something like that, Lord, I'll do it. Because I want to be saved. I want to be saved. In Revelations, I'm going to end with this last scripture. Kind of fits in the world I think we live in. Fourteenth verse, he said unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not. Now here's where the being able to see comes in. We're a wealthy nation. Is there any doubt? We're wealthy. What we have. The poorest people live better than kings of a few hundred years ago. We have running water. Someone said not too awful long ago, poverty means that you've only got two cars instead of three. Poverty means that you've only got one television instead of one in every room. It's true. It's true. We're very wealthy. And because of it, people are saying, I'm in need of nothing. Yes. Lord, open his eyes. Open his eyes to realize his mortality. Oh, how often we've heard of that dear one that without a sign of an illness falls over dead. Just like that. And they say, but we're rich and have need of nothing. My uncle, it was Uncle Don on my dad's side, was having a little indigestion one night, they said. He got up to put some wood in the fire and he made it as far as the stove. And he went out into eternity. Just like that. And we say, I have need of nothing. I have need of nothing. I'm rich, increased with goods, got a little money in the bank, taking care of things, the pantry's full. I don't need a thing. Open our eyes that we could see our mortality. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. That was all talking spiritually. That's what your state before, that's what he's saying, your state, these people's state before the Lord was. This was what he saw. And the prophet could easily pray, Lord, open their eyes that they can see themselves the way you see them. Yeah. Folks, the scripture is plain. We are naked, well, naked and open before him to whom we have to do. There is nothing hid from him. We're going to have to deal with every issue in our life. We're going to have to give an account for every bit of it before God. So Lord, help me to see. Rather deal with it now than have to deal with it then. I counsel thee, he said, to buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich. I'm going to tell you what this gold is. Oh, it's those trials that the Lord puts our life in and gives us victory on and where we can stand a little better. That trial, that place that God cements something into our lives to where we know God. Amen. And we've seen him. Another experience I had with God, I had a daughter that was sick, and three nights in a row she was up all night with nearly screaming pains in her abdomen. We was praying. I was praying. I was wearing out with it, praying. I think it was on the third night when I told the Lord, Lord, I've prayed every prayer that I've known how to pray. I've exhausted myself to know what to do. You know, the Lord brought me that scripture over there in Romans about saying, Abba, Father. You're an adopted. You're my child. That came into my soul. And you know what that means? I got a right as a son to request of God. My faith soared. And the Lord healed her instantly. Oh, he's the Lord. Still God. Still master of it all. And he brought me to a place. He said, buy of me gold. Oh, I wouldn't want to go through it again, but I wouldn't take anything for it. It made in me a place of trust in God. And he told me I was a son and I could cry, Abba, Father. Yes. And white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. Yes. And that thou, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Amen. And it says, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Lord, put on the eye salve. Lord, bless us as a people. Put the salve to our eyes. Help us to be able to see what it really is about. Help us not to be delusional about it, to think it's all about me. It's so easy to get ourselves involved in it and lose the whole idea of it. Lord, help. Help me. Give me the eye salve. But Lord, beyond that, have mercy on our people. Have mercy on those we pray for. Have mercy on our country. Have mercy on our leaders. Give them the eye salve that they may be able to see. They don't realize what some of the policies are going to lead to. They don't know what some of the lifestyles are going to lead to. They don't know what kind of a warped people we're going to have in the next generations if we don't change. Lord, give us eye salve that we might be able to see. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.